Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Yeah, obviously we didn't like the game at all. It wasn't our style of game. And different, you know, things that kind of happen out there. You know, obviously different circumstances right now. So we're just trying to find our intensity. I think that's what we do when we play well. We play intense and hard. And obviously it wasn't really showing Sunday. So, you know, you look at the other games around the league, even the Washington-Tampa game, you know, it was pretty much a war out there. So we know we're walking into, you know, teams that are pretty much ready already. So I think it'll be good for us to kind of get exposed to that. And I think it brings out usually the best in us, but we definitely need a response here and fast.
Yesterday was a good day. We worked on a lot of offensive principles, shooting the puck, getting to the net. Today we lacked a little energy, you know, so, you know, we addressed that this is part of the mental challenge for every team, you know, sort of tournament, for lack of a better term, is creating some of your own energy. So we as coaches have to look at that as well.
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and first voice you hear there was Jake DeBrusque, realizing that they just looked awful, lifeless on Sunday. And the next voice was that of Bruce Cassidy, who is singing a similar tune ever since that game was over, and that is calling out his players. And on right now, the Volkswagen dealers expert hotline, the star of Nesson, and a gentleman who they have about 1,000 feet away from the front of the screen, Billy Jaffe. Billy, do you realize how you look like a minifigure on television?
Usually they put the tall people in the back, Billy.
Like, have you seen what you look like when they space you out? I mean, you've got, listen, I know Dale, you know, is not quite as tall as you, or as tall as most people, but they put him way up in the front, and he's still, like, I mean, you're like this tiny little thing. They got you 100 yards away. Have you not seen what that visually looks like?
You mean I choked the analyst? That's pretty much. I didn't have to look at it because I could actually see it out of the corner of my eye. You know, we've got a bunch of cameras in there and then monitors. And so I just chuckled because, you know, hey, I'm back here. Hey, you know, it's like the kid at the, you know, at the kiddie table at Thanksgiving. You know, hey, I'm back here again. But listen, it's such an imperfect world right now that we chuckle. I chuckle about it. But that's just the way they could space us all out, the best way they could, the only way they could get us at least 6 feet apart. And it's fine. It is what it is. But yes, I had an internal chuckle about it myself.
They're going to change that, right? I mean, because you can do like the three-face box, right?
The problem with the technical side of it's anything but my strength, though, is, you know, Rich, if you're going to get everybody in one camera or in one picture, unless you're going to go to individual boxes, which looks awkward too, I think this is what we're going to have. Listen, it doesn't matter to me. I'm talking hockey.
I love how you said the three boxes looks awkward, as if you looking like Mike TV after you went into WonkaVision doesn't look awkward.
it is what it is right now. Sports during a pandemic, it is what it is.
That is true. It was just good to actually have everything back and to have you back on TV. Now, this is a I don't want me to blow this up, but this is the biggest game in the history of the Bruins, isn't it? This is we have to see, but in fairness, we have to see some sort of life from these guys, because what we've seen has not been encouraging. It's like they haven't woken up yet.
I would agree that the intensity needs to be picked up. I agree with your comment. I agree with what Jake DeBrusque says, you know, that sometimes this team needs to be dragged into the fight, so to speak, you know, because they are so good. They're very, you know, we understand how deep they are. But sometimes, and if you go back near the end of the regular season before the pause, Rich, you know, remember there was some games, the Tampa game, there's real physical, there's some physical play to the Florida game, and these guys really –
you know, stood up, so to speak, and they had their antenna up, and physically they got involved. And I think that that's what they need. I do think that today's game will be more intense. I thought Philadelphia, and by the way, I thought the Bruins were fine in the first, and fine's not acceptable. So, you know, no, I'm not saying that they were good. I'm saying they were fine. They did some good things, actually. They had some chances. But the second and third period, to your point, and everybody just, it was just, you know, a malaise of, before Philly did what they wanted, the Bruins didn't really respond. Even when they did respond with the Chris Wagner goal, it was that intensity word again. They get scored on right away. I don't remember how many seconds after, but right away Philly came down and fired one home. So I expect them to be physically more engaged today. They better be. Other series, especially the qualifiers, have been more intense, and that's going to be an issue for a team. Even if the Bruins don't win a game in this round robin, which I want them to do, even if it's games at a fourth, I want them to win a game and be physical, because then that will get them more sharper and more ready for game one of the playoffs. Because if not, these other teams are going to have advantage on them, having been in physical series and mentally sharper, being involved in series that are intense.
Billy, obviously the first line is what it is. The fourth line performed well the two games that the Bruins have played, yep. But the middle two lines continue to be a mess. Is that an okay thing at this point, or is that a bad thing at this point?
It's not okay, John. It's not, because it's the regular kind of process, especially with the Krejci line that just seems to be, you know, in constant flux. You know, last year they had some question marks. Then they figured out that Coyle was better with a guy like Marcus Johansson, and that got him going. But then that second line still at times was up and down. They need the second and third lines. I think it also, if they get these guys set and they get them playing well, it just settles everything down. So you mentioned the first line, they are what they are. But it's an easier game for those guys, Johnny. Pretty obvious, you know, commentary there. It's an easier game when the second and third line are going, because now the opponent's got to respect them. If they see that the second and third line aren't going and they're not, you know, generating anything, well, then every bit of attention can be focused on the top line, like every bit of attention. And the Bruins need to find that they need to get Krejci, you know, going. They need to get DeBrusque. And I know they're not scheduled to play together today. I'm not convinced that they won't start together and, you know, come playoff game one. But they need to get those big guys going, because when they're big, they make the Bruins, again, obvious commentary here, such a better team. And, you know, whether it's Nick Ritchie being physical, whether it's Charlie Coyle controlling the puck, figure it out. And this is, I'm not even saying to the coaches, I'm saying this to the players. Get this, you know, make the coach's decision easier. Start getting going, get some chemistry going, and get the lines together.
All right, what the hell is going on with Kasha, and what's been going on with him for the last few weeks? I know that, you know, Cassidy said that he's not going to put him out there today, but he obviously wants to use him. And to be honest, they could use anything right now.
Yeah.
But what's been going on with him?
I you know, look, Rich, they've gone to, and via the league, you know, the NHL and the NHLPA, part of their agreement was, you know, any injury is just unfit to play or not able to participate. So they've gone even to more of a lockdown mode on discussing anything, given the pandemic situation and the terminology. However, with all that said, now he's just not in hockey shape yet. I do think he'll play Sunday. I know they're working him hard. They, you know, his wind the other day, just, you know, he hadn't played much at all, literally the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So they're trying to get his legs and get his wind up to speed. And so I expect him to get in on Sunday. At least that's kind of the early indication. But with regard to exactly what's going on with him, was it travel-related, quarantine-related? You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know. I mean, he practiced or he skated with Pastrnak that one day where, you know, the picture was taken. So there was that situation. But I think there was something else, too. That's just my hockey spider sense tingling, so to speak. I don't know. Maybe
I agree with you, because it's not even just a spider sense. It's timeline wise. Like, something doesn't add up, you know, and it's not even because if it was, you know, if unfortunately he was sick, or maybe even, you know, had COVID, then the quarantine time has kind of well passed. You know, it just doesn't.
But you would
also
have heard of positive tests. You would have heard of positive tests coming out of camp. They're not going to report which player it is, Rick, but they would say that there was a positive test, even though he wasn't camp. I still think, and I there's that 1% of me is like, God, am I wrong about this? But I thought they would always report if there was a positive result. Now, they might not say if there's something inconclusive, but now they're not. Now that the league just came out, three days ago about there were over 7,000 tests taken and not one was positive. Now that's in the last week. I'm going back even a few weeks ago. I thought the rule was is that they would report any positive test, but associated with the team, but would not report who the player was. So with all that said, I don't think it was a positive result. It might have been travel-related inconclusive, but I think then it was something else. I don't know. Upper body, whatever. I don't know. But I felt like there was something else that he was dealing with.
All right, Billy, big game today. We just talked about it. Is it more important that the Bruins play well or win today?
Well, I really want them to win to give themselves a chance, to just not to end fourth and to, try and end up in at least second or third, but at the very least, sorry for the lame answer, Johnny, just play well, play the right way, be physical, get to the front of the net, shoot pucks quicker, don't try for the fancy play. But, I'd like them to win. Is it more important they win? Yeah, I guess I'll give that a few percent more. But they have to play the right way, but I'd really like to see them get a victory.
If they finish at the bottom of this round, Robin, does it truly screw them? Like, I mean, how bad is it, in your opinion?
Well, does it screw them? No, it doesn't screw them. It'll make it a little bit harder in theory. Now, if you play out the possible scenarios from the other series, there's all this reseeding. If they end up fourth, and Montreal beats Pittsburgh, then the Bruins would play Carolina, if memory serves correct, the number six seed, because they would play, they'd be the four seed and then play the next seed, the six seed. But if Pittsburgh wins and the Bruins end up in fourth, if Pitt beats Montreal, which I think is what will happen, the Bruins would play Pittsburgh. Now, Pitt, is a very good team at times, but on the other hand, until the other day, Rich, they hadn't won a playoff game in the last seven games, going back to last year. So, and the Bruins have played well against Pittsburgh. So, does it screw them? It doesn't perhaps help them as much as getting the top seed, but, finishing up top two, if everything played out, if they got the number one seed, which it doesn't look like they will, they could end up still playing a team like Columbus or Toronto, depending on who wins that series. Everything still has, there's so much unknown due to the reseeding factor of this tournament. And these other series have still got games to go. It's hard to say if it screwed them or not, if they don't get, above the four seed.
All right, Billy Jaffe. Well, we hope that they do something with your standing arrangements and that you actually look like a human being and not like,
I'm rooting for you, Billy.
Finger.
I really am.
That's right. I'm rooting that they end up doing something there.
I'll think about it. Maybe I'll try and say something when I get out. I'll say, hey, listen, the guys on the hub were concerned about me, so let's
yeah.
talk to the director. Maybe they can do something for me.
That would be nice. They can zoom in just when you're on.
Oh,
just
do a super
zoom. Oh, yeah. Show all the gray beard. That would be great.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it, Jaffe. We'll talk to you again soon. And by the way, Joe, I did hear you try to sneak in a McAvoy question there at the very end.
Jesus, God.
Which, what are you going to do? All right. Well, we will be right back. And you know what? Let's finish up I Rule right after this. Yeah, 985 of Sports Up. It's Toucher and Rutch. We will get to that in just a second. I was just sorry. I just was in the middle of looking at this article. So I guess that a lot of corporations and stuff hurting right now. There are a couple who have just been banking it. One of them being the Wham-O Corporation that makes slip and slides. I guess the sales of slip and slides have been up like 350%, and to that I could say yes, because I actually bought a slip and slide during all of this. I mean, because you right now have a world full of people who are they don't want to go to the crowded pools or be, so they're trying to make their backyards this like fun paradise or whatever. If you have kids, you're doing anything to keep them entertained.
Yep.
So I bought a slip and slide, and And I this article I was reading just had like these comments, and people are calling out parents for like ordering a slip and slide because they're like they're wildly dangerous. I know a kid who, you know, blah, blah, blah. And to that I say, yeah, sure. I don't really know many times that I've had a slip and slide where one kid didn't, you know, hit a rock the hard way that happened to be under the slip and slide. But, you know, despite that, dude, they're fun as hell. And you know what? It's like everything needs to be super safe nowadays. And I think of like the ways that we got entertained when we were bored when I was a kid. It's a miracle that I'm not dead and that all of my friends are not dead. Just the dumb things we did to keep us entertained. Man, we had a game in which we like would make each other pass out. Like we would like grab each other's windpipe and see who would be the one who could like, oh, can you make him pass out? Ah, and then we'd pass out on the floor and get him rah. There was a real game. We would basically choke each other until we passed out, and that was a fun game. There was like a guy who – there was a dude who lived next door to us who had a potato cannon. Have you ever heard of a potato cannon before?
Yeah, I used to use them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. So, Joe, you know what I'm talking about here. Potato cannons, first of all – are no joke. They could put a hole in your body.
Like bazookas, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't know what a potato cannon is, it's you take a PVC pipe, and there was a way that you would like attach some sort of flame or something to the back of it where you would push it into a potato so it would completely clog the front of the PVC pipe. Mm-hmm. And then you would hold it up like a bazooka, just like you said, Joe, and you lit this thing on the back of it. And when you launched it, I remember there was this one time where this kid next door aimed it at a tree, and it put a damn near hole in the tree. It like was like a boom, and it flies. I mean, you could murder somebody with a potato cannon, and that was just kind of known as, the kids are just making a potato cannon. And nowadays, I'm sure like you would go to jail if they found one of those at your home. I mean, I'm thinking about like games we had that were basically, there's no way that in any kind of schools anymore they play kill the guy with the ball. And that was normal.
Oh, yeah, we used to do that. We played Suicide. You probably remember that game, Off the Wall.
Yeah.
And if you
what was suicide?
It,
what was suicide?
So you throw a ball off the wall, and if you didn't handle it cleanly, you had to run, and then somebody would pick it up and fire it at you. Oh, that was like a growing up game. I learned the hard way.
I guarantee, and these were games, and that was a game we played at school, was kill the guy with the ball. And that's a game that you can't do anymore. And of course, it had a million names that, you know, that you can't really say right now. But I mean, you would just, the game was whoever got the ball, you beat the living crap out of them until they coughed it up. I guarantee you, you're not allowed to do that anymore. We had games that was just like Ninja Boy. And Ninja Boy was just like, you would go up to your friends and you would kick their legs out from underneath them until they smacked their skull. And that was just could you stand still and not fall?
Yeah.
And you would just stand there and let your friend with one kick as hard as they could to try to sweep your legs out from under you to where you would smack yourself and get a concussion.
I've never heard of that. Everyone played kill the kid with the ball. Everyone did that. There were versions of suicide that we played when I was in school.
Relivio, man, I used to. You're not stopping me. I'm breaking that thing down, man.
What is that? What game?
Red Rover.
Red Rover, sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah! Well, Red Rover. No one wanted Joe to play.
No,
because you would take dudes down with you, right?
And I hated Duck Duck Goose, I'd catch them, dude. I had quick feet back in the day.
Weighed this much, right?
Well, I'm heavier now, but like, dude, when I was playing ball, I was I could run.
Sure.
So like, Duck Goose, people get me, I'm tackling their ass.
Did you ever play the game where you and two of your buddies like bent over and made like a kind of horse thing, and the object was to see how many people you could hold? People would just keep jumping on top of you until you collapsed.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It just doesn't sound good, but
no, but I mean, that's a game that we played too. And we always had, there was the one, you know, we waited for the one larger kid it would always be on my team. Yeah. So he would jump on the other guy and, like, break the guy's back.
We had seesaw games in Hyde Park. I'd be on the one side, then all my friends would be on the other. One time the thing sprung so high, I bounced up, fell down, got the wind knocked out of me.
These are big boy sports. Well, think about it, too, Joe. I mean, they've completely re-engineered playgrounds. Like, the metal spinner, like the thing that was just the metal bars. Yeah. The I mean, you would just play that game and you fling it, you flew off and smashed yourself.
Yep.
They don't got that anymore. You can't do that.
No, you have ridges now on the edge of that thing. But plastic ridges.
You brought up slip and slide, man. We'd throw everything on there, man. Drano. Anything we could get our
Drano. Dude, why? Drano,
what did you do?
Lysol.
Why?
Dish soap was great, but it gets
so you go faster.
That's not Drano.
Oh, okay, no, but you—that's why you threw it on there, so you would go faster down the slip and slide down a hill, right?
Yeah, I'd use like
have to be down a hill.
Pam stuff you put on your
Pam and soap are completely different than Drano. Couldn't that burn your skin?
I don't know. We went flying though, man. That's all I can tell you.
Down the hill, and when you left the slip and slide, that was a rude awakening.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially if you put that extra stuff on. I used to do that too.
Let's go to Cam on line one. Cam, you had a potato cannon?
Yeah, so me and my buddies used to make them all the time, and yeah, those things are deadly, man. Like, sometimes and you get, like...
We're losing you, Cam. You kill a guy with that. And that's the other thing, too, is, you know, there's part of me that thinks that kids aren't bored enough now. And, like, they need to be bored because the things that you could invent, you know, it's almost like being in prison. We've talked about that. Like, you have all the time in your hands. You find ways to make all of these crazy experiments and things like that. You know, kids just need to be bored sometimes. Although we would do stuff. Oh, my God. I even feel bad talking about it. Put it this way. The stuff we did with fireworks was just insanity. Like, bottle rocket wars were a normal thing. Like, and you would light them and you would fling them, like, right before it was about to go.
Yep.
And you'd get the timing down. Although, how many times did you have one blow up in your hand? Which, once again, I still can't believe we still have all of our fingers. But you would wait and then you would chuck it. And we would have, like, the street was kind of that was the middle. Like, that was half court. And so we would be on one yard and then the other team would be on the other one and you couldn't cross half court. And you would sit there and just wait and you'd hum it. And these things would, like, blow up once they hit the other team. Like, they would blow up right before they were hitting them. And normal game, nobody cared.
Yeah, I know some schools, kids were dropping fireworks in the toilet.
Yep.
At some places.
I had a kid who got suspended for a month. Did that in my middle school.
Somebody said, we invested in the blow-up water slide this summer. The warning said no head-first slides. Yeah, effing right.
Yeah,
my daughters throw each other off the top.
Yeah, so of course. We'll follow that direction to the T. Yeah.
Oh, somebody said, what about... Okay, now this is ingenious, and I never thought about this. By the way, you should not do this. Somebody said, what about bottle rocket wars with a wiffle ball bat as the launcher?
Ooh.
Cut off the bottom like a bazooka.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. That's for smart kids. Which probably are missing some fingers. So it said, I have three potato. I mean, I read that slip and slide thing, and everyone's like, oh, you know, how could you buy that? You're irresponsible to buy that for your kids. Dude, the stuff we did. Let's go to Nate, line one. Nate, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? So speaking of crazy stuff we did as a kid, we had this game just called the tire game, and it was a combination of pickle and dodgeball.
Yes.
And we used an old bike tire wrapped in duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You played pickle running back and forth, but instead of tagging the guy out, you got to use the tire and you just whipped it at him as hard as you could.
I know this game. We had a string on ours, though.
Oh.
So, like, it was a pick. We would just fire the tire on a string onto a tree.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
All right. Line three. Who hasn't had this? Who hasn't seen this when they were a kid? And by the way, you shouldn't do any of these things. Andrew, you're on the show.
Hey, when we were like 13, we were down at the park, and my buddy just got back from New Hampshire on 4th of July. His dad got a bunch of Roman candles, so he pulled down his pants, stuck one in his butt, lit the thing up, and boom.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone had a friend that did that. I was never that guy, but I mean, ask me if I've seen a guy shoot a Roman candle out of his butt in person. The answer is yes. And you really haven't lived till you've seen it. You should not do these things, by the
ever.
Way. Ever. All right. 617-779-0900. Now everyone's calling it because this article was just crazy. Yeah. It was like, oh, irresponsible getting a slip and slide.
Slip and slide was like PG growing up, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw me playing slip and slide, you're like, hey, he's doing all right over there.
I had a guy who actually tried to put a loop to loop in his slip and slide because he didn't know anything about the laws of physics that you couldn't stick to the slip and slide when you went upside down. He landed on his head twice and went back for a third try head first. That's how nuts he was.
Like a smart guy. All right. 617-779-0985. Here's Joe Murray with your headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stats.
All right. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Dutcher and Rich. All right. I'm glad that everyone's kind of coming from the same place I am on this. So I just real quick, just to recap, I was just reading this article during the last commercial break about how despite there's a bunch of companies that have been taking hits because of everything, the Whammo or whatever the company is that makes slip and slide, their sales are through the roof because everyone's buying these slip and slides because not as many people are going out and about. They're trying to turn their backyards into this, you know, very, you know, place where the kids can go crazy. And at the bottom of the article, there were all these comments of people who were condemning parents who bought slip and slides because they're so dangerous. And I was like, well, yeah, sure. I mean, I remember people getting injured on slip and slides when I was a kid, but I mean, that wasn't anywhere even near like the most dangerous stuff we did. That was, as you said, Joe, that was like PG entertainment. Yeah. Like, that was like, all right, everything seems to be fine, family fun, who cares? Put grandma on the slip and slide, it doesn't matter. And I just started thinking of all of the, like, really unbelievable dangerous games we would play as a kid, even ones that we would play at school that you could never do now. Like, I mean, kill the guy with the ball was a big one. And we talked about how, you know, there was all sorts of ways we would injure ourselves. We had a game that we would just have, like, we would grab each other's necks and make each other pass out, which is, like, so ridiculously bad. Firework wars and things like that and potato guns. And I'm surprised half of us are even alive today. But I got a couple of tweets, and there's a couple that are just phenomenal. First of all, about the potato gun. Someone said, I had a friend who made a potato gun. For some reason, it wouldn't shoot. My idiot friend couldn't see inside to figure out why, so he lit a lighter and put it as close as he could to see. He forgot that he had sprayed a can of hairspray inside of it as an accelerant, and boom, eyebrows gone. So it just singed off his eyebrows, because, of course, that's how you light a potato gun. This one might be my favorite. He said, I wish I could take credit for this game. My friend had five brothers, and they played a game called Darkness. They'd cover the basement windows in cardboard so it was completely dark, and everyone would put a tennis ball in a tube sock. You can imagine the mayhem this caused.
I did that. I did that when I was a kid. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. And I was like nine. And you know, we came in from outside. We were bored as hell. We closed all the windows. The kid had a great basement. We had all the windows closed. And I don't know if it was a tennis ball or what it was, but we proceeded to stumble around in darkness and crash into couches and beat the living snot out of each other. Oh, absolutely.
But you would be, the whole time you'd be swinging the ball in the sock, right?
No, that's right. Yeah. No. Totally happened. Yes.
So that's like a game. I've never even heard of that one before.
That was a thing. Yes.
All right. Somebody said, I filled a 2-liter with sand and a rock.
Yeah.
One guy in the middle of the block. Everyone else rides around the block. Guy jumps out and yells the word "some" and a 9-pound rock-filled bottle. The bikers. The game is called "Some Bad Things Occurred." That sounds awful.
Yeah. Like growing up, we did stuff like, you ever done the cinnamon challenge? You like eat a bunch of cinnamon without, like, you know, and then
yeah.
What about the chubby bunny? You ever do that?
Did that in the confectioner sugar that you shoveled into your mouth?
Yeah,
it was just disgusting. Then, Rich, before we get too far gone, we should mention the sponsor of this particular part of the program.
Oh yes, yes. What is the sponsor?
Stack, as you all know, is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. Yes, I did all of those things when I was a kid.
All right, let's go to Brian. Brian on line two. Brian, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Yeah. For starters, some of these stories are absolutely hilarious. Yeah, no, but when we were kids, we would go in the woods and we'd take these old dried out branches and we'd swing them like that and hit a tree, a skinny tree, and launch the top half. It would snap off and go flying through the woods. And so essentially we'd be playing dodgeball, but we'd be dodging projectiles, which are the top half of the tree.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It would just, you'd have to end up, like, watching out because it would come smash on you. That was, you know, I lived near the woods, and we would do all sorts of crazy crap like that. There was actually one, there was a vine, and we went over this creek, and we would swing on the vine. There was this big-ass tree, and the game was to see if you could grab on and, like, hug the tree and slide your way down. The amount of times that we, like, got the wind knocked out of us and probably got our ribs cracked to an extent just trying to grab, like, flying on this vine and smacking into this tree. God, and people are obviously pissed off about slip and slides. I don't get it. All right, let's go to Evan on line two. Evan, what's up, man? Oh, sorry, Evan on line four. Evan on line four, Tracy.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Evan?
Morning.
Hey.
So, some things we used to do as a kid. I only had one paintball gun. I don't know why my parents let me buy a paintball gun. We only had one, so we'd get our friends to go out with no like protection on into the woods, and we just let them run around, and we'd shoot them with one paintball gun. And kids would get hit off the neck. They'd get hit off the side of the face. Oh. They'd get hit in the groin. It was like Deer Hunter without any protection. It was the stupidest thing we could do. We'd come back with welts, and we'd be bleeding. It would be terrible. So
yeah, we used to freeze.
How did you decide? How did you decide who was the hunted?
To be honest, I guess we used the weakest one. Whoever grabbed the paintball gun first, and everybody just ran.
that was it.
Yeah, we used to freeze the paintball guns. And then one bad thing that happened in our neighborhood was kids would, like, freeze eggs. Like, egging was, like, a huge thing in our neighborhood. And dudes would freeze eggs and do, like, drive-by eggings. It was not good. Not good.
By the way, John was talking about how he used to play that game called Darkness, where they would put the tennis ball in the sock, and yep. Where you couldn't see and just smack each other. Someone said, "Well, that explains why John Wallach had a gap in his teeth." somebody said, "Catching bats." Catching bats, a tube stock full of pea stones, toss it in the air, and the bats thinks it's a big bug food and snag it. The claws get caught in the sock. Bats! Oh, what do you do to catch the bat? First of all, once again, you shouldn't do any of these things. I'm just saying, you know, how ridiculous it is that people are freaking out about, like, the safety of a slip and slide when the crap that we went through was ridiculous. Somebody said, who hasn't played Lunar Patrol? The fun-filled one-person game where you'd throw boulders up in the air and try to catch them with your head without shattering and kick your own ass. Now, I never did that. Jesus. Lunar Patrol seems very strange. Oh, I would. God. That's one that even back in the day I wouldn't do. Whoa. That seems a little out there. All right. Let's go to Sean on line 5. Let's keep this rolling. Might as well. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, Rich. How you doing? I'm 48 years old, so I've been around for a while. But growing up, they didn't pave my driveway. They just put, like, rocks in there. And so me and my buddy would just get on opposite sides of the yard with piles of rocks and have rock fights with each other.
Done that?
Well, who hasn't done that?
That's like, yeah, you know.
That's a rite of passage.
Yeah, I'm bored. Let's just throw rocks.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a shirt, Joe. I'm bored. Let's throw rocks. I'm all right with that. Dutcher and Rich, I'm bored. Let's throw rocks. Put that right in the back. All right, Eric, line 2. Eric, what's up, man?
My friend and I used to whip tar shingles at each other. That game ended when I had an eye patch on for about 6 months in the fourth grade.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tar shingles were everywhere. Yeah, I remember that.
Sure.
Yeah, you got shingles in the eye. I mean, we would do stuff like someone tweeted this and this is something we totally did. I think every kid did it. Is you would make a makeshift ramp with a piece of plywood and put it on like a cinder block, and you would take your bike and jump off of it. But what your buddy would do is he would lie right underneath the ramp, and you'd try to do like an Evel Knievel and like jump over your friend, and it never worked out the way it was supposed to. I mean, you were always either getting a wheel to the gut or the thing would snap and your friend and your bike would crash right onto your ribs. Yeah, that was also one that I think every group of kids used to be able to do. All right, Chris on line 3. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. So to the point that Joe made earlier about the potato guns, we used to have bottle rocket fights. So there was this old abandoned gravel pit behind our neighborhood with all these giant boulders. And we'd form into teams, and we'd get just like the 1-inch PVC pipes, cut them down to maybe like 4 or 5 feet long. And then you'd have one person holding it over their shoulder like a bazooka aiming, and then someone behind putting a bottle rocket in the end, lighting it, and shooting it at the other team. No eye protection, no nothing. Oh, and, yeah. Good times.
Oh yeah. I mean that was a staple. And remember when we first had Gronk on the show, and when he first started playing, we would have him on every week. And,
Zoom. He played Zoom with his brothers in the backyard. Yep.
And Zoom is just, I mean, it's if you can't picture the Gronkowski brothers doing this, then obviously you've never seen them in person before. And what they would do is they'd all go out in the front yard and they would stuff their shirts with pillows. And the game was one against one. one, they would run as fast as they could into each other and smash into each other, and the last one standing wins. The last one without a concussion would be the winner of Zoom. And apparently the parents were all in on it. They were like, ah, we don't care. We'll just let's let them do it. Let's let them not wear themselves out. Have you ever done that before with like your kids? They've been beating the snot out of each other and you're sitting there going, man, just let them go.
Yeah, oh, hell yes.
Oh, sure.
That's another rite of passage. This time as a parent, if you have kids that are, I mean, you can only break them up so many times. Yeah. And they're kids. And I have two boys. So, I mean, it's WWE in my house. And you just like, all right, maybe one of them will pass out, and it's less for me to deal with afterwards. Well, and you just clean up the mess.
You guys
after
are parents, so you might as well let them go. But dude, like nowadays, or like in my 20s, if there was a fight, I was actually talking to Lockhart about this. Like, if there's a fight, I no longer break it up, dude. I've been hit, whacked too many times to the point where I'm fighting the guys after. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I do not break up fights anymore. Out on breaking up fights.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. All right, real quick, Emily. Oh, we got it. All right, Emily chiming in here. Emily, so you've done one of these games before, huh?
Yes. So, well, I was never the instigator as the girl in the group, but we used to take our slingshots and we would shoot rocks up into the air and then try to catch them while we were driving our fishing boat. And so, as you can see, four kids not looking where they're going with a boat, trying to catch rocks with their faces looking up.
So, okay.
Try that today, Rich.
Getting a face full of rocks, I could do that.
Yeah.
Somebody just said this. I mean, this is great. We used to play a game called Smash Hands, where we'd line up around a pool table and throw around the pool balls as fast as possible, and you were out once you got your hand smashed by one or one launched and hit you in the junk. Smash Hands. Oh, so we'd ride our bikes around, and one guy had a stick, and that guy would try to stick it in our spokes to knock people off the bikes.
Jesus.
I mean, that's because we would do this. I forgot what we called it, but it was something like knights. Like we were pretending we were knights. And we would take wiffle ball bats on our bikes and go as fast as we could and try to smack the other guy off with our wiffle ball bat. Now, that we would do.
That's a little different, though.
Yeah. Like you put it in the spokes, man.
That's serious. That's
you're losing
handlebars.
Teeth.
That's not good. No.
Okay. I mean, these, as I said, don't do any of these. But somebody said we used to play catch the dart with a ping pong paddle.
Oh, I used to let my buddy throw darts at me.
Like, God, I would like,
why? Stop.
I would sit below the dartboard.
Why?
He'd be like,
do
you trust me? I'm like, yeah, I trust you. He'd fire that thing. He'd hit it right. He'd hit the dartboard.
How are we alive?
Oh, God.
I'm just thinking it because, I mean, all of these are ones.
Did I ever tell you about the baseball story where I knew a buddy of mine who lived in a cul-de-sac, and what we would do was we'd have a baseball, and we'd stand 30 feet apart from each other and throw the baseball as hard as we could at each other until one of us couldn't catch it. And the one who couldn't catch it either had a big welt on his forehead or on his arm or something like that. That's what we did. That was fun.
Could do that. Yeah.
By the way, somebody just tweeted in and said, girl who fishes with slingshot, that's wife material. So obviously they made our listeners very excited. All right, well, there you go. So
a good Bruins fight today or something.
I know. I know. Get them inspired by this. This will be nice. Bruins at 4 o'clock game. How fantastic is that? I love these 4 o'clock games. The 9 o'clock games like the Celtics one tonight, that kind of sucks.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter. To be quite honest, I mean, I think that they're going to beat the Nets. I'm not even worried about that. This Bruins game is everything. I don't mean to overblow this, but I just need to see some life. I just want to see some sort of response. They got called out by their coach twice. Let's see if they can do something.
They're going to win today.
First.
They're going to win today. It just came to me. They're winning today. That's it. It's over.
I agree.
Write it
down. What's the spread there, Joe? Have you heard anything?
Don't have it, but I assume Tampa Bay is favored.
They're going to Bruins cover and win. There you have it. You heard it here first. And, of course, we know my betting record's impeccable.
Hey, man, listen, if they don't, it's, you know, then we got something to talk about. If they don't win today, I mean, it's not even if they win. As I said, tomorrow I'm not going to be mad. I just want to see some life. I want to see them do something. Like, if it's a really good hockey game, I got no problem with it. As long as they just show that they, because the Lightning are a good team, although Stamkos is out, which,
wow,
you know, kind of changes
slight
things.
Even matchup, -105 Lightning, so going to be a good one.
This should be a good one. Hey, by the way, happy birthday to Tracy.
Yes.
Producer,
hey, happy birthday.
She does a great job whenever DOP is out. And, we love having her on the show. She has never played Smash Hands before, and I don't know if she's ever been a part of Kill the Guy with the Ball. But then again, maybe I would be surprised. Right, Tracy?
I played a lot of the pass-out game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are – that might be the one I recommend the least.
A lot.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. We appreciate it. And here is Zolak and Bertrand and Hardy. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.